I will now pass the microphone back to James for some more news stories.
Chatterbox ourselves featured in the Thursday edition of the Evening News with an appeal for a new sound recordist. A blind man and his mum had a disastrous day out when three buses failed to arrive. There were worries about proposed developments of a solar farm near Norwich Airport and of pylons near Long Stratton. Hedgehogs and water voles also made the headlines. Bridget will start with the story about Chatterbox.
Chatterbox, an audio-based newspaper created for the blind, is calling on city folk to help keep the service going. Located in King Street, the charity provides audio publications for visually impaired and blind people, with news taken from the Evening News and the Eastern Daily Press. While the organisation has provided a link to the city's news since 1979, it's revealed there are openings for sound recordists. Chairman of Chatterbox, Roger Ryan, said, "The sound recordist is a key member of the production team. If there is someone who already has or would like to gain experience in making recordings for the public, we would like to hear from them. For newcomers, this is a great opportunity to learn the skills of recording and editing live audio. Those interested would see firsthand how editorial decisions are made. They'd also have the satisfaction of knowing that you have helped play a part in helping to create a programme that is popular with hundreds of blind and visually impaired people. The role would involve jobs such as setting up recording equipment, editing, and a weekly meeting with the editor. For more information around the role, people can email contact@cbtn.org.uk.
A partially sighted man from Norwich said he and his mother missed an afternoon at the theatre after three buses failed to show up. Gary Hatt, 61, from Cossey, said he was waiting with his mother, Vera Thorndike, 85, at the Longwater Lane bus stop, hoping to catch the 23A first bus service into the city to see The Ocean at the End of the Lane at the Theatre Royal. Mr. Hart said the pair had been aiming to catch the 12:21 p.m. service, but this was cancelled due to a mechanical fault. He added that they believed a second 1:21 p.m. service was following behind, but then learned that it had been scrapped due to heavy traffic. Mr. Hatt said that this led to him calling Travelline, a service set up to help people navigate public transport, who he claims told him there would be a 1:37 p.m. service arriving on the opposite side of the road, which would get him to the theatre on time. But he said that this was also cancelled with no reason given. Mr. Hatt says the journey usually takes less than 30 minutes and added that he did not get a taxi as he was being reassured a bus was coming until it was too late. The pair missed their 12:30 p.m. show, and as it was not a sellout, the Theatre Royal was not able to issue a refund for their £42.50 admission price, and despite talks with First Bus, Mr. Hatt has not received any compensation from the bus company. A spokesman from First Bus, Norwich, said the company was investigating the incident and will respond to Mr. Hatt once it has been completed.
Controversial plans for a solar farm large enough to power more than 8,500 homes could compromise flight safety. Due to reflection from the panels, Norwich Airport has warned. Pathfinder Clean Energy, PACE, is hoping to build a solar farm on a field northeast of Reefham Road in Horsford. The project would be operational for 40 years, taking 1 year to build and 1 year to decommission. But the proposals have been met with backlash from the local authorities and organisations, with Norwich Airport the latest to voice its concerns. In a letter to Broadland District Council, BDC, a spokesman for the airport wrote, "We have several concerns about the effect of the solar panels on flight safety. We are discussing these with the developer. If the plan remains unchanged, we will object to the development because it will compromise flight safety, something that we clearly do not wish to do. Surely this site and solar reflection is adding a hazard and increased risk to pilots, airport operators, passengers and homes in the area of at critical stages of flights," said a spokesman for Horsford Parish Council in a letter to BDC.
Angry villagers who fear miles of 50-metre-high pylons will devastate the countryside near their homes took part in a protest walk against the controversial proposals. Around 70 people living in the village of Fawnsett St Peter near Long Stratton joined a 3-mile walk around their community to highlight how the pylons would affect them. National Grid is consulting over plans for a 112-mile power line from Dunstan near Norwich to Tilbury on the Thames estuary. Fawnsett St Peter is on the proposed pylon route. The walk highlighted where the towering structures would be. Villager Norman Stevens, one of the organisers of the event, said, "We had about 70 people turn up, which was a very good number. We were able to point out to people where various pylons would be sited and how that would affect the lanes and footpaths. We have hares, roe deer and owls, which hunt along the verges in the village, while there are numerous other bird species such as buzzards and red kites. The whole quality of people's amenity would be spoiled." Mr. Stevens said villagers wanted the energy cables to reach the southeast along the seabed rather than via pylons over swathes of Norfolk countryside. National Grid has said the scheme is needed to take power from wind farms off the Norfolk coast to increase supply as demand increases. It has said an offshore grid would be costlier to energy bill payers and have less capacity than an overhead route.
An animal rescuer who specialises in hedgehogs has been forced to temporarily close his doors after being inundated with sick and orphaned animals. John Claxton, 67, who has run Thorpe St Andrew Rescue from his home for the last 6 years, said that this year has been by far the worst he has seen for the number of animals needing rescuing, blaming changing climates for much of the difficulties. "There's a number of reasons we've seen such a bad year for hedgehogs. The first is climate change," he said. "Normally, hedgehogs would only have 2 or 3 litters a year. But with the extreme changes in weather, hedgehogs have been having their litters very early in the year. We picked up our first litter in late January. That's almost unheard of." The former Health and Safety Executive Inspector currently homes 18 juvenile or injured hedgehogs, but at one point was caring for 30. He said the mammals are having more litters due to the prolonged warm and dry weather. They suffer because their food, such as worms and insects, disappear underground to find moisture. The litters are then often abandoned by mothers who can't feed them or who are severely dehydrated and unable to eat.
A project to trap and kill every American mink in the country has been hailed as a success, as the number of threatened water voles in the Norfolk Broads has bounced back. Efforts to eradicate mink, carnivorous mammals belonging to the same family as weasels, otters and ferrets, began in Norfolk in 2003. The invasive species was introduced and bred for fur in the 1920s, along with other rodent species called coypew. Both species bred quickly in the favourable wetland habitat of the Broads.
Well, that's it for part one of Chatterbox this week. Your readers were me, Bridget Cook, and James McGarry. Matthew Tucker and Carolyn Sayer are now going to join us with part two of Chatterbox. This will include Information Desk, two more sets of news, and another feature.